I do want you to take out your chapel journal and turn to page 8, because also part of our regular format in chapel will be a review of a verse each month that then accumulates a passage that we seek to learn throughout the school year. And so I chose to just wait till this point to just introduce that verse for the September month. We're already a ways into it, but each of the chapel services are frequently in the chapel services. And the purpose is to certainly learn that verse for the month, but then we want to accumulate this as we move through this passage. It's appropriate to our theme, sufficient servants. And of course, the verse or the passage ends, as we will in April, Lord willing, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a pretty good statement of sufficiency. And so let's do this. Let's just take the reference, the verse, and the reference just for today as a reminder. But that's another thing that you can do as you come into chapel and find yourself waiting for its beginning, to just even review the verse that we're working on for that particular month. But reference, verse, reference together, please. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4:6. What a wonderful reminder. I'm sure it's a passage that's familiar to many of us, maybe most of us. That reference to being careful for nothing is not an invitation for carelessness, but it really is a use of that thought that we often say someone's a carefree person. They don't let things bother them. And so truly we have the privilege to be careful for nothing. We don't have to have that anxiety. We can trust the Lord. This is a little bit of a different week than normal. I will say that my speaking today was not the intended schedule, not because I don't enjoy preaching or because it's not my privilege to decide that, but we had a guest speaker that just a day or so ago had to cancel, and so that became part of the adjustment to my week. Probably the very beginning of my week, though, that really sort of left a bit of an imprint on my heart happened on Monday morning as I was just making my way to the office and had picked up a message that had been left on my phone by our Director of Public Relations, Carissa Clark. And her task as part of our role of just keeping awareness of our maybe information that crosses the various avenues is such that she picks up on things where Appalachian Bible College is referenced in ways that weren't necessarily our doings, but people made reference to us. And so in the course of that, she came across a particular reference to Appalachian through a death that was being recorded. And she just shoots this to me, and she said, didn't know if you had known of this. And the particular person that was referenced that had passed away was someone that really was impacting to my life and to our campus community as a whole. In fact, I'd like you to just understand that this person was in the very first graduating class of Appalachian Bible College. Here we have a gentleman named Clifford Gross, who is very appropriately there in that listing of six graduates in 1953. And he came to us with a rather interesting story. I obviously was not there, but I've learned through the years and have met him. He was here for homecoming just a couple years ago. But his homegoing was one that was of significance to me because I've referenced him many, many times because he is truly an illustration of what Appalachian Bible College is committed to accomplishing. You see, Clifford Gross came to us as a 25-year-old person out of the military, and he brought his military benefits to Appalachian Bible Institute, as it was in those days, to Pettus Baptist Church, where the college was in the Whitesville area, and proceeded to move through a 3-year training process, graduated in 1953, and almost immediately embarked upon missionary service in the Caribbean. In those days, Cuba was open to us, and so he actually went as a missionary to Cuba, along with his then newly acquired wife, Aretha. The two of them went to that region and served effectively, and then eventually Cuba closes and they continue in other places of service. But here are some of the testimonials that were recorded in that obituary that I want you to see for just a moment. Clifford Gross, 93, of Lexington, South Carolina, entered into eternal rest on August 31st, 2018. Proceeds to describe some of his family. He said, he trained in the Army as a paratrooper, was assigned, this is at the close of the Second World War, was assigned to the military police in Italy. He then used his military benefits. He started his schooling at Columbia Bible College, but then transferred to Appalachian, and so would have been in the early class of our first graduating class from Appalachian Bible Institute, as it was. After 54 years of faithful service, now would you all just say that word with me, or that number, 54. Fathom it, 54 years of faithful service alongside his wife, Rethel. He retired from the West Indies mission that he served with, where he had been in service in Cuba, and then later on the islands of Trinidad, Tobago, Grenada, St. Lucia, and St. Vincent. You know, when we're thinking of gearing up for our missions conference, last chapel was focused on that. This next month will be intensely reminding you of that. Can I tell you, it's the Clifford Grosses that we are talking about as we think of the cause of missions. He began his work in Cuba at a Bible school as a part of the print shop of ministry there. Following years, he and his wife worked in church planting, pastoral responsibilities, developing and writing study materials, and teaching college-level classes for local pastors. For the last several years of ministry, they focused on teaching biblically-based marriage and family living classes, and then running this additional print shop, supporting churches with printed materials. I spoke just a day or so ago with the pastor that will be leading this service that will be held Sunday, and Lord willing, I'll be privileged to be in attendance with some rearrangement of my schedule, and so I would appreciate your prayers for that, as I have a very rigorous schedule. I speak in Reiner, Virginia, and I have literally 4 hours of travel from that location to where this funeral is going to be, and I have literally only 4 hours to get there from the time the service ends till the service starts. So if you want to pray for just no traffic and no accidents and, you know, no policemen, I shouldn't say that, but I'm taking Mr. Michael Rowe along with me to help because of the length of the day and travels, and so he may need prayer to just even put up with me. But the truth is this, I spoke with a pastor that will be leading this service, Don Turner, and he said, Brother Gross has been faithfully involved in our church. Rethel passed away about 4 years ago, his wife, and he said he's been faithfully involved in our church in the years since they moved to retirement, to Lexington areas where their families settled as far as their children. Their four children are in that area. Said that he sung in the choir until about 2 months ago, and he said, until about a year and a half ago, he said he would drive to church all the time. He had to stop driving. But he said he would regularly go visiting with me as pastor. I can tell you that's the kind of testimony that I believe is worthy of review. That's been a little bit amplified even just this morning as I received word late yesterday afternoon of another one of our alumni, Ted Ball, who's more frequent to our campus, or more recently to our campus, graduated in 1968, so 50 years ago, he graduated from this campus, and he just went home to be with the Lord last night, spoke with his wife this morning, Sandy. She's going to be here for homecoming. They regularly come to homecoming, but Ted's health's been deteriorating in recent months. And what a joy to talk to Sandy as she answers the phone, and you never know for sure when you speak with somebody initially by phone, whether or not they're going to be a little bit fragile because of the emotions of in a moment like that. And she answers the phone with a typical Sandy buoyance. She was a real person of joy. And so I identify myself, and she says, "Well, praise the Lord. I'm so glad to talk to you. This is a great day." And that's what she's saying, not flippantly, not carelessly, not because she's happy that her husband's gone, but because she has that certainty of hope. But what a testimony of confidence in a life well spent, they too having spent the entirety of their lives in ministry. I want to just remind you that in this particular focus of sufficient servants, I began by talking about the guarantee we have in our convocation chapel. We have a guarantee. You can count on God. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Don't ever forget it. The guarantee stands. Because of who gave the guarantee, God did. But I want to move now to this, and this is where God has orchestrated this time. I didn't know I was going to speak today. This message was going to be later in my scheduled times of speaking, but I'm so thankful to pilot it together with that very beginning thought. And that is this: what is the goal of the sufficient servant? What is the goal? What should our ambition be? When you think of a Clifford Gross, when you think of a Ted Ball, what is the goal of a sufficient servant? I think it's pretty simple. It's a one-word testimony. It's this: faithfulness. Faithfulness. Our meditation verse, required of a steward to be found faithful. As you jot this down, and I hope you're taking notes, start right off with this. And I'm going to say occasionally moments that might sound rebuking. If you don't bring your chapel journal and participate, you're missing an opportunity to register truth in your life that lasts. It's a tool that's intended to help you. Please make that your discipline practice. That's faithfulness. Faithful in doing that. And the Bible says if you can't be faithful in little, you'll never be faithful in much. And so with a sense of a measure of reminder, faithfulness is the goal of a sufficient servant. There's a passage I'm going to just briefly highlight, and brief is in truth the day. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you'd turn there, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. As you're turning to that passage, I'm going to read these verses. And then I want you to just follow along as we look down through this passage at what I'm referencing as five steps down a path of faithfulness. And these five steps, I believe, are very specific and clear and instructive, and I dare you to take them as yours. Paul speaking here as he reflects his time at Thessalonica and is encouraging their engagement in his life as he's now away from them. They were a church that was suffering inordinately. They had confused their thinking because of their suffering that they were in the tribulation. And Paul writes back to correct that error. And by the way, we're still correcting that error. There are some people who think the church goes through the tribulation. No, it doesn't. The rapture happens before the tribulation. And so Paul, in his message to them, writes these words in behalf of his desire for them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course," or literally may be triumphant, is what that literally means in the original, "and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that ye may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all men have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Come down this path with me now of faithfulness and make it your aspiration to put these five steps into your life. Step number one is the yearning for faithfulness in verse 1. The yearning for faithfulness. You know, when you want something really bad, you're going to do it regardless. That yearning passion ought to be the description of our spiritual ambition as well. And Paul says, I just want you to pray for me that I truly will exercise this ministry effectively. I'm going to say it sort of bluntly, and it's not pointed to any individual, but it's to all of us. Just ask yourself this question: do I really want to be faithful? It starts by wanting to be faithful. The yearning for faithfulness. That's step number one. Followed by step number two, and we're just going to move right down this path quite simply, each verse a different step for us. Step number two is not only the yearning for faithfulness, but the awareness that there's a spurning of faithfulness. Not a word we use a lot, but spurning means that somebody seeks to avoid it, or they don't want to have anything to do with it. And look at verse 2. Paul says, I want to be delivered from these unreasonable and wicked men because they're not eager to have faithfulness. They don't want faithfulness. I don't say this with accusation, but it may be possible already by this point in the year, you've picked up on some relationships with students even, that you say, boy, that student's not necessarily one that's really encouraging me to be what God wants. I do know that before the year's over, in a context like this, much as I wish it weren't true, there are going to be some persons who aren't necessarily your best friend spiritually. I make the statement frequently, a friend isn't a friend unless they make you more godly. So be careful that you choose the right kind of friends that encourage you, because just like Paul says here, there are people who spurn it. They make fun of it. They don't want to be too radical about this business of serving God. Can I just dare you to take that step down this path of faithfulness? Be aware you're in a battle. That's why we have an armor that we wear instead of a swimming suit, because it's a courageous act to be a faithful servant. Spurning of faithfulness, step number two. But then note step number three in verse 3. We see this thought that Paul gives us, and that is the learning about faithfulness. He then cries out, having seen this concern for those that avoid faithfulness, he says, but, in contrast to that, anytime the conjunction but is used, it's a contrast of opposite usually. But the Lord is faithful. There's number one model that we should follow. God's always faithful. The sun came up this morning, not because of Mother Nature, but because God actively made it happen. God is faithful, who shall establish your hearts and keep you from the evil, or literally from the evil one. But you know what? That's a learning process. One of your privileges as students, one of our privileges as a campus community, is to be constantly confronting and being encouraged to strengthen our walk with the Lord, our faithfulness. It's a learned task. You might look at somebody that you say, boy, that person's so spiritual, I wish I could be like them. Well, let me tell you something. If someone's that spiritual that you really think is that spiritual, you know how you'd be like them? You learn. You learn. And so the learning of faithfulness, step number three, leading to step number four in verse four, and that is this, the turning to faithfulness. The turning to faithfulness. And we have confidence, Paul says, in the Lord concerning you, or touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. You know, just like I said, the desire to be faithful starts with that yearning. You have to make a decision. The exercise of faithfulness is a volitional decision. I'm going to be faithful. I will do this. Not because you're self-sufficient, but because we are all creatures of choice-making capacity. God made us that way in His image. Will you choose to have your devotions? Will you choose to do your Christian service effectively? Will you choose to be alert in chapel? Will you choose to participate in things of God? It's a choice. And so I'm going to turn and do that. I'm doing it now, but that doesn't guarantee I always will. I want this reputation that I will also do it in the future. The turning to faithfulness, step number four, which brings us to our final step on this path that Paul gives us in verse 5. And that is the returning in faithfulness, verse 5. This concept of faithfulness is rewarded with this ambitious anticipation that's guaranteed, and that is the return of Christ. Look at verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, that just sweet insurance and assurance, and into the patient waiting for Christ. This is in keeping with the theme of the book of 2 Thessalonians, but Paul is saying this is a rapture verse here. You're waiting for the rapture, the return of Christ. And I promise you, it will happen. Did it happen in their lifetime? No. Has it happened to this point? No. Will it happen in my lifetime? I don't know. But I know this, it will happen. And it could happen this very day. And the question is, will I be found faithful at His coming? Too late to become faithful once He returns. And so returning in faithfulness is an anticipation I can count on with an illustration for me to be faithful. And so I would again bring you to that reminder picture of that first graduating class. Except there's a shadowed absence. You see, well, the picture has basically other persons that are also home in heaven. For our purposes, would you just in this moment see that picture and recognize that Clifford Gross is no longer in the picture? We've relocated him to heaven. His ability to sing in the choir and to do visitation with the pastor is over. His opportunity of ministry in Cuba and Caribbean regions is past. But you know what? The need for persons to do that exists more than ever. So I ask this question. Will you fill the picture? Will you step into Clifford's spot and say, with God's help, I want to have it possible that someday in the future to have a reputation that says, 93-year-old and put your name there, passed away, and here's their testimony. The goal of a sufficient servant, faithfulness.